present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. You good today?
Am I good today?
Yeah, you good today?
Oh, I couldn't be any better. I'm doing fine. It's good to be here, good to be anywhere. Wednesday feels like a Monday. I was really confused by yesterday, which felt like a Sunday, but it was a Tuesday. The whole Memorial Day weekend thing, especially with us getting the extra days, kind of throwing things off. But back to normal somewhat here, short week. I had a good time this weekend. What about you?
Yeah, we. It's weird having this Wednesday.
Yeah, so, probably should have just taken the week off.
The whole entire week? You might have been onto something there. Maybe we should have next year.
Yeah. I think it really takes a whole week to properly remember everyone, you know?
By the time we get it remembered, we're going to be at the weekend and having to start over, so.
Right.
Do anything for Memorial Day?
I actually went 4 for 4.
What does that mean?
I had 4 things I wanted to get done this weekend, and I got them all done.
Okay.
Number 1, got my new underwear in.
Congrats.
They're comfortable.
Congrats.
They're just what I wanted. 2X fit nice and, you know, snug, not loose. They stay up on the waist, on the butt, you know, and that's huge with underwear the way I see it. I'm right at a 2X guy. My mom got me 3Xs last year thinking I wore a 3X. I said, Mom, I'm fat, but I'm not that fat anymore. So I'm a 2X underwear kind of guy. Got some perfect underwear, so that was 1 for 1.
Congrats.
I finally tried the meatloaf at Hops.
Yeah, I saw that.
2 for 2. Shout out the Hops. The meatloaf sandwich was tremendous.
Okay.
Very good. The pimento cheese, a little pepper with it. Perfect compliment to the meatloaf sandwich. Then I made some, I guess it was Friday night, made some progress with the Twin Peaks waitress.
Okay.
So 3 for 3 there.
Okay. Progress.
Learned some new things, set up a new, you know.
Hung out without paying her?
Yeah, okay. I did hang out without paying her. So
that's some progress to hang out without paying her.
Still been texting a little, you know, here, texting back and forth, as Trey Wallace would say. And so, you know, I call that a win, 3 for 3. I've made some major progress with the Twin Peaks waitress.
Okay.
And finally, I wanted to do some kayaking for Memorial Day. We did that out on the lake and on the river Monday. And that was a long day, but a fun day. So 4 for 4, the way I see it, between new underwear, meatloaf sandwich, Twin Peaks waitress, and kayaking on the river.
Okay.
You ever go kayaking?
I've went kayaking before.
Me and Brandon, we went out on the lake, and Rick was with us,
too. The kayaking on the lake looked a lot more fun. I liked canoeing back in the day.
Yeah.
My problem with kayaking, and was it last year I went, 2 years ago? I don't know. We went on a big-ass loop that was like 4 hours,
a lot of time.
Yeah. So, like, you're just there paddling until you get back to where you're going. And
yeah.
At a certain point, I was tired and I wanted to be done, and you can't be done until you get back. So
it's a workout.
Paddling around the lake where I can see with my car, I'm like, hey, when I want to get out of the kayak and back in my car, that I would probably enjoy. It's the losing the car and being at the mercy of the river and the trails. That's what I didn't like.
Yeah. Yeah, I could understand that. But it's kind of good both ways, I think.
I don't know.
We did both.
In my life, I am just – I want things on my schedule.
Uh-huh.
That's
– You don't want to leave it up to chance to a river.
Not only that, but like one of my ticks, one of my pet peeves, if you will, whatever, is I hate uncertainty in my scheduling. I used to always get into an argument with my ex-girlfriend whenever she would say she was getting ready to go to the store. She was getting ready to go do something, and then she would just sit there on the couch. And I was like, well, are you going to go do it? Like, you're just going to sit here? Like, when are you going to go?
So you need things rigidly planned.
No. Just don't announce that you're about to go do something. I don't need you to plan what you're doing, but if you're going to do it, just go do it. It's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you got to do a couple other things. Like, I'm getting ready to go do this here in a minute, but I got to do this and that first.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you got a schedule, then you're knocking the other things out, sure. But if it's like, yeah, I'm going to go do this later, it just hangs over me like a cloud, and I'm like, well, when are we doing it? Like, if we're going, let's go. That's what I always say. That's, hey, we got to go to the mall. Hey, we got to go do this. Okay, well, if we're going, let's go now. Let's go ahead and knock it out. I don't like it hanging over my head. Like, on Memorial Day, I went down to my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
She grilled out. She's like, hey, you know, sit down and rest for a bit, and here in a bit I need you to go dig some holes for me.
Here in a bit.
Yeah. And I was like,
so you're not a here in a bit guy.
I'm like, let's just go do it now. I was like, I just got here. I don't want to sit down, and then, like, I can't get comfortable on the couch because I know as soon as I get comfortable, you're
going
to want me to get up. So let's just go knock them out now. Let's go dig these holes now. So I went, and I took my hole diggers, and I went, and I just stuck it into the ground and cleaned out some holes for her blueberry bush and some other type of bush. I don't know what the other one was, but I had to dig a couple holes for her. But I was like, let's do it now because I don't want to hang it over my head.
Love a good blueberry bush. So you would say you're the opposite of a procrastinator.
Again, if it's just me and myself, it works a little bit differently.
You can put things off yourself, but if you
I don't tell people I need to do it. It's just an internal monologue I have with myself, like, or maybe even an internal debate. I don't know of when to do something, but no, I don't get things knocked out like right at the beginning.
Hmm. Well, we need to do headlines here in a little bit.
I know that we will do them at 1 o'clock.
You don't want to just do them now?
No, I'm okay with like scheduling something in the future. I don't need to like do it now. I'm fine.
It's
I know we'll
over
do it
your
at
head,
one
though, knowing that we're going to do headlines.
I don't want to say I'm in control of headlines because headlines are your thing. But again, the clock's kind of in control of that. Mm-hmm. Like other segments, I'm cool with holding off them because then I'll eventually get to them.
I need to get out and get a Diet Coke a little bit later.
Yeah, and I would tell you like let's just go do that after the break.
Here in a little bit.
Yeah,
I'll just say here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we kayaked on the lake and then we loaded them up. We went with Rick, and then we went to the river, too. You ever do the river?
I just told you I did the river. I
know, but I mean the Tennessee, the downtown?
No.
It's a nice little experience.
Okay.
I would suggest it to anyone.
All right.
It is. The river just carries you. You flow. We put in by the island home, those places where people live. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Those apartments. You know, people live there.
I know people live in apartments, but no, not...
Island home, people live there, Splendid View Way, you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Okay, well, we put in there, it's like you're going to Iams, and then we rode down to Neyland.
Okay, so just a quick little ride.
It took about 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
But it was nice,
Then what, did you paddle back, or did you get somebody come back?
We Ubered.
So you just rented the kayaks?
No, they're Brandon's kayaks.
So did you just leave the kayaks there and then come back with the...
Ubered back and got the kayaks. Ubered back to the truck and then loaded them in the truck.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you had a good time.
Yeah. Did you do anything else in terms of...
No.
No?
I supported the troops, the fallen troops.
You did.
From the comfort of my home.
How did you...
And then, like I said, I went and ate hamburgers with my mother on Monday, but that was it.
How did you go about supporting the troops on...
Moment of self-reflection, moment of silence, just deep thought.
Should we do a moment of silence now?
No, Memorial Day's over.
Is it really ever over, though?
Not for some people.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I personally never stop remembering the troops. So,
okay.
You know, I like to just take a moment of silence about once a day.
I don't have a clue of what the biggest sports story is coming out.
Oh, there's a ton of things.
I know, but I don't know what the biggest one is. Well, okay, you can give me that answer after the break. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cody, what do you got for me? What's the biggest sports story from this long, weird break?
Well, hockey's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, the NHL announces a return-to-play plan for the 2019-2020 season featuring a 24-team Stanley Cup playoff. Does that do anything for you?
Yes and no. I mean, actually just yes. I'll just say yes. Like, I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I like that sports are coming back.
Yeah, it would
Charlie's
be.
Charlie's hanging around to produce for us. Charlie, feel free to hop in here on hockey. You're a hockey guy, right?
Yeah, I like hockey.
What do you like
nice
about it?
Nice contribution. Okay.
All right, well, no. I mean, yeah.
Tell us more. What do you like about it?
I don't need to know what he likes about it, but I mean,
is
yes.
it the guys grinding up on each other a lot?
Okay, let's. They don't grind up on each other.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of contact. I mean, that's
what. Not really grinding. It's there.
You don't have to make everything sexual. That's one of the things I like about football is guys just getting rough with each other.
Well, the linemen grind, but in hockey, I mean, like, sure, there'll be some scrums every now and then, but like for the most part, not a lot of grinding. It's a lot of free flowing skating.
I feel like there's a lot of grinding.
Okay.
There's Maybe nothing wrong with enjoying some guys grinding up on each other.
I just don't.
In a sporty
that's
way.
That's just not how I would describe hockey, but okay. Either I mean, way, you guys
know,
are
when
the experts.
Slammed into the, wall, you know, into the, I would say glass, but it's not glass. Plexiglass? Or
I think it's, I don't know. What it was plexiglass. I mean,
it's like a hard plastic.
You got the forecheck where you dump it into your offensive zone and then you go hit each other and try to get the.
Like I said, every now and then you'll be up on the on the wall, like trying to fish the puck out. Like sure, but okay. I mean,
maybe grinding was the wrong word. A lot of banging going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of banging.
I like seeing guys bang.
There's a lot of banging.
That's just me.
A lot of banging.
That's why I like football. That's why I like hockey, and plus they fight sometimes too. You know,
they do.
And that's a thing that I've always respected about hockey is that they let the players police the game. You know, I think hockey is the least poisoned sport by officials. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Hockey is the least policed sport from the officials?
The least. Well, I said poisoned, I think. Poisoned, policed. I meant the players police themselves.
Yeah, that's why.
But I was saying the officials poison the other sports. Maybe poison, not the right word.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay.
The least affected by officiating.
I mean, for the most part, the rules are pretty cut and dry. I feel like.
Yeah.
And like the big call, you know, whether or not someone's offsides is reviewable. And they let them punch each other.
But you never see officials making like a big impact on the game in hockey.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the offsides is reviewable. The goal is reviewable. There's not very many judgment calls in hockey. Is that fair to say, Charlie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the only judgment call is whether or not you get a penalty for
a trip or a hook or a high stick.
Yeah.
But
that's a good thing, right? I mean, because like in basketball and football, you can point to numerous games that have been, I don't want to say ruined by officiating, but at least heavily affected by officials.
The press Maybe. Got, press I feel got like, screwed out of
I feel like there was some controversy about some officiating last year or 2 years ago, but I don't remember what it was. So maybe I feel like you're right about that on the, for face value.
I don't know. Hockey seems pretty pure to me. It's an old sport, one of the oldest that's been around as far as, the big four, the American sports. And it's just a lot, like I said, a lot of banging around, physicality. It's really a good sport if you can get into it.
So the NHL is going to do things differently than what we think the NBA is going to do. And the NBA looks to have a date in mind. July 22nd, I believe, is the date that keeps coming back around. In terms of when they're going to continue play. And the thought process is that the NBA will at least try to get at least 5 more games in. They need to get to that 70-game plateau to get local TV money triggered and, bring in hundreds of millions of dollars. The NHL will not do that. They will not have any more regular season games. They will go just straight into the playoffs. And like Cody said, 24 teams instead of 16. Whenever they do get back into play, back onto the ice. Was there a date linked to when they wanted to do it? I haven't seen the date. Was there a date?
Oh, let me go back and see.
I think they said July 1st is when they're going to try to get skating and, training camps, I guess, started back up.
They had a 31-team vote on it, and it passed 29-2 in terms of let's just do 24 teams, let's just get through this, let's end the regular season, let's play.
So two owners were against it?
Yeah, Tampa Bay and Carolina. I don't know what their positioning is in the seeding. Maybe they were one of the last few teams in the playoffs in the regular model and didn't want to reward the other people. I don't know. Two owners voted against it. I didn't see their reasoning for it. But they are going to hold games inside of empty arenas at two hub cities. So that's kind of, I guess, they'll put the Eastern Conference and Western Conference in two different cities, let those teams play it out, and then figure out where maybe they'll go. I wouldn't imagine they'll go back and forth. So, I mean, one of those cities will then hold the Stanley Cup. There will be no reason to travel because there won't be fans. So, two hub cities. Nashville didn't make the list for a hub city.
Well, that would have been cool.
Why?
Just to have that be in one of the cities where the playoffs are taking place. I mean,
you wouldn't have been able to go to the games.
No. No. I guess just, it wouldn't really be that cool.
Yeah, then. It wouldn't be that cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, Nashville's like a hotspot city compared to a lot of these places. So, I mean, which I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know if Nashville is still – Nashville seems to be under control, right? Like, pretty much every city that
it's
that's outside
here,
of New York
like
seems
New Orleans
under control. Yeah, New Orleans.
Maybe New Orleans.
Nashville's open and rolling now.
Yeah.
The bars Miami. And everything.
Yeah.
I think Nashville's doing pretty good.
Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, L.A., Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver are being considered. So a lot of the cities are being considered. I wouldn't imagine that going to Toronto or Vancouver or Edmonton would make a lot of sense. Like,
now they're in Canada.
Yeah, just for tax purposes and the Canadians' mandatory 14-day quarantine rule. Like, I feel like you would just stay in America. Personally, so like I'd mark three of those Canadian cities off.
Yeah, probably want to mark off Minneapolis too.
Yeah, because Minnesota's been pretty strict about how they're handling things, and well, they may thinking, also have their own thing going on now.
I was just thinking the way things are going up there right now, it's just a lot of drama right now in that area. You probably want to stay away from there.
Sure.
Run into some protests.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know if you saw that stuff over the weekend. Crazy stuff.
The top four teams in each conference will receive a bye. They will play in separate round. They will play separate round robin tournaments to determine seeding in the first round. So I guess the top four teams in each will play each other to see who's going to be the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed, which is kind of cool, I guess. But that's is that a disadvantage, I guess. Maybe I mean you're playing against the top level. Like those games are going to be more intense. Do you actually care about the seeding? Do you go out for it? I don't know.
I'd say you probably do. I'd say the seeding will matter. Then it says the remaining 8 teams play.
Does the seeding matter? Because I think you're going to run into this in the NBA as well. Is like, who cares about the regular season? Like, will the Lakers, for example, go full speed? You know, whatever regular season games you have left, will any of the teams that already have a playoff spot clinched, will they care about the last regular season games? Because seeding doesn't really matter. I mean, you might play a tougher opponent, but it's not like you all of a sudden have to worry about home court advantage, right? Like, I mean, it's not going to be an advantage of having game 7 in your building because you're not going to be in your building.
I think you'd still rather play the worst seeds possible.
Is there a difference, though? Like, I mean,
than 7 and
like
8.
Like in the NBA, like I say, like especially if they go with the 1 through 16. Like that's thought that, you know, they've hinted around that for a long time. Like, hey, we're gonna get rid of Eastern and Western conferences in the playoffs. Let's just play top 16 teams. Is there gonna be a real difference between like being a 1 and 2 seed and then playing, you know, the two worst teams in the East, the Magic and the Nets? Like, no one's gonna really care about that.
No, probably not.
With 3 and 14, like the Raptors and Grizzlies, like I mean that doesn't.
If you're talking like the difference in a 1 seed and a 3 seed, though, like once you get to that second round game. Might make more of a difference.
When it's conference play, sure. But, I mean, I think in the second round, for example, or the third round, you know, like, you're going to be playing good teams regardless. Like, I think there's going to be – if I was a team, I would be – the Lakers, for example. I would be worried about, like, just getting my guys back in shape and, like, LeBron's only playing 30 minutes and, like, let's just ease back into this. Let the teams down at the bottom make a race to lock up their playoff seeding. let's just be on cruise control. Let's just use this to get back in shape and try to find our edge again as we get ready for the playoffs. Like, I would kind of coast is what I would do with the regular season, which is going to be beneficial in terms of getting guys back up to speed. Because it does seem kind of crazy that the NHL is going to be like, hey, you're not playing hockey for a while. And then all of a sudden, boom, okay, here's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Where we're going to judge you. And, like, you know, playoff hockey is already crazy, right? I mean, that's the sport with the most eights beating the ones. Like, I mean, it's a random game. Scoring's at a premium. It's easier to pull upsets if you get a hot goalie, all that. So, like,
yeah, you like could theoretically. Nashville beat Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, they were the eighth seed the year they went to the Stanley Cup championship, right? They were the eighth
yeah.
seed?
Oh, yeah, they were.
So, like, I mean, you could theoretically see a team like that's 20th in the league that would have missed the playoffs get hot and make it deep into the playoffs. Like, that could possibly happen here.
And don't they typically say about hockey, like, that home ice does not matter?
Home
as
ice
much?
Matters less, yeah. Like, yeah. You can win on the road in hockey more than you can win on the
better
road.
Better than you can in other sports.
In football and basketball, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, game sevens in the NBA on the road are really, really, really tough to win. It doesn't happen a lot throughout history.
Right. But hockey, it's a lot more. You know, so maybe the lack of fans won't make too much of a difference in how this was all going to shake out anyway.
No, but I think hockey atmospheres are cool. Like, that's it's really cool to see that on TV.
It is.
To me, as a fan, as a very, very casual fan, as a sports fan, I like the hockey crowds. That's a part of the appeal for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say that about pretty much just any sport.
Well, I'll watch football with no fans. I'll watch basketball with no fans. But for me, like, hockey, you know, the Nashville crowd was a big part of why I was in on the Nashville run. Like, I mean, sure, there's state pride
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, people were excited about
you
it.
You want your friends to be happy. But the idea of the fans being there and how loud they were was a pretty big draw for me.
Yeah.
Same for, you know, Las Vegas when they made their run.
Who do you like coming out of the Eastern Conference
this year?
I have
no clue. Zero clue.
I'm going to go with the Bruins.
You're picking Boston?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So on the other teams, the other eight teams, 5 through 12, they're gonna do a best of five qualifying round.
Okay, to see who gets in.
Yeah, and then they'll match them up with the seeds, the first four seeds.
Okay.
So I mean, there could be a difference there, but you know, if you're the one seed versus the four seed, and because you might end up playing the Penguins, or you could end up playing the, you know, a lower seed like the Islanders or something.
Let's catch a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about the legacy of this season and how we're going to judge these teams. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Are you ready for a How will the champions in these seasons be remembered? Like, if they actually do get back to play, like, will you look at this NHL season, this NBA season, and think, oh, well, this season doesn't really count. It was so weird. Like, it was just kind of, you put an asterisk next to it. Doesn't really matter. This champion will be, you know, kind of like how the NBA doesn't really care about those Houston Rockets championships from the mid-90s. They're like, Jordan didn't play. They don't really care about those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you still hang the banners.
The strike shortened season of 99, like, the Spurs won the championship, cool, and like they ended up solidifying it in the 2000s by winning more. But like the Knicks making the finals that year, we look at it and just be like, what? The Knicks made the finals that year? Oh yeah, lockout, shortened season, kind of weird.
That was in what year? 99. The Knicks made the finals?
Yeah,
that's who the Spurs beat.
Yeah, and I want to say the Knicks were the 8 seed when that happened.
How? I mean, why did they make the finals that year?
Because it was a. Well, I mean, some people think it was because it was a. Season that was such a grind for teams, and you played so many games in so, you know, such a short time that when you got to the playoffs, the young teams with fresh legs were better, and the Knicks were pretty young then. Like Patrick Ewing wasn't on the court anymore; he was hurt. So like they were just kind of gimmicky, spread them out. Allen Houston, Sprewell, got them there.
Never knew they made the finals.
Yep.
So I guess New York's had a little success since the '60s.
Well, I don't know. No one really takes it serious.
Nobody remembers it, but, you know.
No one really takes it serious. They're like, it doesn't really count. It's a strikeout shortened season.
Do you think if not for Jordan and the Bulls that the Knicks would have gotten a championship in the 90s?
maybe.
Like, if not for getting knocked out by Chicago, because, you know, Jordan, they
in
always
the early,
talk about how,
the early 90s.
How good the Garden was and everything. And they had Patrick Ewing.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Speaking of Patrick Ewing, did you see where he was?
He beat the COVID, though, right?
Yeah,
he's back at home.
Got the COVID, yeah.
Yeah, no one really cares about that finals because the Spurs just, like, swept them. Just took them out pretty easily.
Yeah. I just wonder.
It's like Tim Duncan and David Robinson. I was like, you know, Tim Duncan was there, and everyone's just like, okay.
Just wonder if maybe we would look at things differently with the Knicks if not for those Bulls.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe they wouldn't be the laughing stock of the NBA.
Well, I don't think it would have helped them, like, not be a laughing stock currently.
But at least they could be like the Cowboys. You know, they could look back and say, well, look at our titles.
Yeah. Or even if they got one, it would, you know, it would
help.
It's crazy that the biggest market, the biggest franchise, the cathedral that everyone talks about in Madison Square Garden, that they haven't won a championship since the 60s. Like, yeah, that is pretty crazy, right? I mean, they haven't won since 1970. 1972/73. That's it. They haven't won since then. And that's kind of tough to swallow.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, how it'll be once we actually get back to sports. Like, if hockey, I mean, because like I said, it's a sport where you can win and get hot as the 20th seed. Like, that could happen. In the NBA, I think it's going to be weird to see. Like, you look at teams that will be hurt by this, and I would say the Bucks are going to be hurt by this. The Sixers are going to be hurt by this. Both of those teams were awesome at home. You know, like the Sixers' home record versus the road record, so funny when you look at the difference in it. Like, they're damn near unbeatable at home, and they're almost .500 on the road.
Same with the Heat. The Heat had just as good of a home record as the 76ers.
Yep. Good point by you, Troy. The Heat are another one of those teams that, like, you look at, and they're like, awesome at home. They get on the road, barely .500. They're losing a home court advantage. On the other hand, like, you look at someone like the Clippers, who, you know, if they played the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers, all of the Clippers' home games would be half Lakers fans, right? Like, they wouldn't really have a home court advantage. They would have, you know, their series against the Lakers, it would be 90% Lakers fans. Their home games against the Lakers, it'd be 50% Lakers fans. So now they get to play these teams as a franchise without a great home court advantage and without a great fan base, and it gets to be an even playing field. So maybe it helps Kawhi Leonard, who, as a robot, would probably benefit from playing a completely quiet game. Where we could just hear him grunt and say, give me that. Board
bucket.
Man.
Bucket.
Bucket.
It was a weird story.
So I do wonder how this will, affect our perception on whoever wins a championship.
I don't think you should put asterisks by them. I mean, I think if you win a championship, you win a championship. You're still going to have to beat the other good teams. It'll be a little different. It'll be a little weird. But you still hang the banner.
Okay.
Like, if you're a sports fan, you're still going to be excited that your team won it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, maybe the excitement, not quite as much. It'll be a different level of excitement. Because normally when your team makes a championship run, I mean, think about the festivities, you know? Think about when Nashville made that run to the Stanley Cup. Downtown Broadway was just overflowed. They're showing the games downtown. You know, you think about teams when they win a championship, they have the big parades.
It's going to be really awkward, like, in cities when they're still having watch parties, but you're not allowed in the stadium. Like, they're not going to do that, I guess. Like, Raptors aren't going to be out there in Jurassic Park watching all together.
Maybe they will be out there. Maybe they'll just do a social distancing watch party.
Preds fans going to, like, just flood the bars of Broadway. I mean, because, like,
because that's
just
so much better.
I mean, a month and a half from now, we're supposed to be back up and running, right? Like, we're at the 75% phase. Like, 28 days later, we're supposed to be open, ready to go, right? Is that not still a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on where you are, on who has watch parties and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't yesterday phase two opening up?
Swimming
pools.
So, yeah.
I believe my apartment, the swimming pool's open now.
I think now you're allowed to be at 75%. I know my gym said I didn't have to wear my mask anymore, but you brought me one because I have to wear it to get in the doors.
Just to get in.
I don't have to wear it once I get in, but I have to wear it to get in the doors and have it just in case.
Which makes total sense.
It's whatever. It is what it is.
The our movie theaters open up?
That's what I asked. That's what I wanted to know. I need to know.
We should have been doing shows the whole time with these masks.
No, we shouldn't have because this feels awful.
It is awful.
It's very hot.
It's hot.
This is the first time I put on a mask.
Yeah.
The whole that's probably not good to admit to our whole entire audience. This is the first time I've put on a mask.
Yeah, well, you didn't have one until
I've
now.
I've just been going out.
They're hard to get, you know.
I've just been going out breathing on people.
Those are hard to get a hold of. You know, any gas station you go into, they got like a pack of 10 of them for a dollar. They're really hard to secure.
Are they just out there like that?
Yeah, they are now. Yeah. But for a while, they were hard to get.
But
those suck.
It's me. I'm just a jerk.
Those are like, they make your face hurt.
I'm going to have it just in case I need it now. Because like I said, you might see some places say you have to have one to get in. So I'm going to have it just in case.
Some places you do have to have one to get in, I think. Movie theaters, is that
I don't think those are open yet. I tweeted that out yesterday and no one had an answer for me because I do want to go see the movie. I do want to go see movies. But maybe that'll be July. Maybe the first time.
Let me go look at phase two. Phase two started yesterday in reopening. Got an article here from WATE. Let's see what all it includes. It just allows more types of businesses to open, basically.
Yeah.
Food truck parks, pools, bars, as if any bars were closed anyway. I don't know of any bars that were not open. I mean, I know there have been some that are like technically just bars that maybe stayed closed, but I think most bars tried to serve food to say like, hey, basically, you know. It says movie theaters can open. Arcades, bowling alleys, athletic courts.
How many phases are there?
Just three. Well, some of the big cities have four, I think. So, like, Nashville has four, I think.
Laser tag facilities can open up.
Do we have any laser tag facilities here anymore?
We had that one where we went and played.
There's that one place over by the Culver's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
main
bowling
event,
and all that.
Main event.
No, it's you're talking about
main event's not really a laser tag place, but they do have laser
tag. There's another big place there.
No, that's old. That's gone.
I think it's opened back up. The indoor go-kart thing. I know that one was open and it shut down, but I think now they have a new one open.
Well, I don't think it's laser tag. I think it's just like a trampoline
park. Well, I wondered if it might have a combination
of... No, it's like an action park. It's like just you go there, you jump on a trampoline and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think they have go-karts running in there again.
They might, yeah.
Maybe not like right now, but I mean, I think a new place opened.
I do want to go to the movies. The hotter it gets, the more I want to go sit in a cold movie theater.
Well, you can, according to WATE.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're open in Knoxville. Like, I don't think they're open in Knoxville. I think Knoxville's struggling to what I was told about like Pinnacle is doing like renovation right now, and other places are like having a hard time with staffing because people were laid off. And
well, it says they're allowed to reopen.
Okay, Knoxville.
While these places are allowed to be open, it will not be business as usual with many health restrictions still in place. Of course, still several active cases within the county.
Yeah, 5 hours ago it says Regal Cinemas undecided about opening theaters.
Hmm. Well, they're able to.
Well, the last time I went, you know, I went right before this whole thing happened, and they wouldn't give me a free refill on my soda. So I was a little bit – or my popcorn. So I was a little mad about that.
They charge you $17 for a popcorn and Coke, and you can't get any refills?
Trust me. I was upset.
I would be, too.
I was like, so you can't just, like – get? They're like, no refills. So I was like, so you can't just, like, give me a new bucket and a new coat, like a new cup?
Nope. Sorry about that, sir. Sorry about that.
And I'm like, it would have been nice to tell me before I paid $17 for it.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I think we'll ultimately decide on the championships by who wins them. Like, I think if one of your top four teams, like in basketball, like we'll just say the Bucks, who would even be the top four teams? The Bucks, Lakers, Clippers, and...
A fourth.
Is there a fourth?
The Celtics, maybe? The Rockets?
No, see, I think if the Rockets win, we're definitely throwing an asterisk on it. We'd be like, oh... James Harden can't play in the playoffs, but of course he can play in an empty gym. Yeah, it doesn't count. Not counting it. Sorry, Houston. This is just like your mid-90s championships. Doesn't count. You have three of the last 30 years, but we don't care. Doesn't count. Maybe the Celtics. I know, like, I feel like there's a top three, and it's been a while since we've watched NBA, so maybe I'm a little rusty, but I feel like the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers are on their own little tier. So if they win a championship, you'll look and say, okay, this was maybe even more impressive because... They didn't have home court like they would have. Because all three of those teams would have had, you know, some type of home court advantage in series. Now, whether or not the Clippers actually would have had one's different, but the Bucks and Lakers both would have been the one seeds, both would have had, you know, a benefited from that.
It would be a perfect year, I feel like, for a Lakers-Clippers finals.
So if do they, the 1 through 16 and get them on them on other sides and let them play in the actual finals?
The reseeding.
That could be fun. But I was, like, really, really looking forward to the Battle of L.A.
Yeah.
For L.A. Like, I was really looking forward to that playoff series.
Would now, I mean, I feel like now would be the perfect time to try something new.
Yeah, and, like, you're going to see them do that, and that's why they're going to use this as a testing ground to roll into, you know, people have been always asking, like, what happens if you start your season, like, in December? Like, right when football's winding down, and then you kind of control, you know, Christmas through summer.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then? And they're going to do that. And same as the 1 through 16 reseeding, I feel like now would be a good time to do that as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, we're going to get playoff hockey, and you know we're going to get the NBA. Baseball.
Yeah, baseball. Not. We'll talk about baseball because yesterday didn't feel like a good day for baseball.
No.
We'll talk about that after the break. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. As we get good news from sports leagues about when they're going to try to get to play, how they want to get back and get started, I feel like the news yesterday from baseball was going to be pretty tough to spin in a positive direction. As Jesse Rogers, never heard of this guy, but he works for ESPN, reported that under MLB's proposal to players, they are going to cut money. Right, it's a prorated season. You're not going to get your full money. I think everyone knows that. But just how drastically they are cutting the money was a little mind-blowing to me, Cody. Have you seen the figures on this?
Yeah, well, I saw the thing you tweeted yesterday.
Okay.
Which,
well, for the audience, I will read it for you. Under Major League Baseball's proposal to players, a player making $35 million, so the Mike Trouts of the world, your biggest players, a player making $35 million in 2020 would make about $7.8 million in the upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's half of a season work, but you would make about $7.8 million. A player making $10 million would get about $2.9 million, and a player making $1 million, which is where most of the players in baseball fall. 65% of baseball players make $1 million or less. Those players will be making $434,000. So they're a lot closer to half of their normal salary. When you see that, Cody, it makes me think that we're not getting baseball. And I understand this is just an opening proposal. Hey, it's negotiation. I'm not going to give you my best offer at the beginning. We start here, you start there, we meet in the middle. I understand how negotiation works, but I also understand how time works. And baseball is running out of time if they want to get back on the field like they have said they want to by early July, because they want a 21-day spring training, and they want to get on the field early July. It's like they only have a couple weeks to hammer this out, and this makes me feel like they're far away.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I just feel terrible for these owners that are losing money, you know, and these greedy players just want to take all this money away from them, and their profits are just down this year. And instead of having four yachts this year, a lot of these owners are having to sell some yachts, and they're down to two yachts now.
Look, I'm not going to paint these guys in a sympathetic light, but I think we've assumed that all these owners are just stinky rich and, like, have a ton of cash laying around and stuff.
Yes, they are.
I don't think they all are.
They own Major League Baseball teams. I mean, I'm speaking
about, you know, the Houston Rockets owner. What's his name? Is it Fernando? I want to say Fernando Tatis, but that doesn't sound right. That sounds like an old baseball player. Fernando.
That's the Padres shortstop.
Oh, okay. Tatis. Okay, yeah.
And Houston. He owns the Astros?
Just a little side gig.
Tillman Fertitta. It wasn't very close, but it was similar. Yeah. Tillman Fertitta, like, he has talked, you know, he was meeting with President Trump not too long ago. And he was talking about, man, like, this has been really tough because these billionaires own other companies, right? But maybe he's just an anomaly, but he owned like restaurants and casinos and other places that like haven't had any cash flow in like the last 2 months. So he's like, hey, kind of need some money right now. Like, I need this TV money to kick in. We need these last five games.
I need
my $280 million check. Like, I'm good.
I'd like to get my $1,200 check, Tito.
He signed again, this is not me painting them in a light, but I'm just saying, like, some of these owners are going to be facing some type of numbers crunch. Like, Fertitta had to sign a loan for $230 million where he agreed, I want to say it was a 14% interest. So basically he was putting $290 million on a credit card. Like, hey, give me $230 in cash to keep my businesses afloat. I'll pay you $290 back when it comes out, which, again, not going to feel bad about someone doing that. But at the same time, I do think it paints the picture that some of these owners are crunched and affected by these businesses shut down.
What'd you say his name is? Tillman Fertitta?
Yeah.
The guy's worth $4.4 billion.
That doesn't mean he has $4.4 billion.
It doesn't mean he has it in cash, but he's got it. He can sell off a yacht or two and be okay.
Well, sure. I mean, you can find a way to come up with the money, but you're still crunched by this. Like, still affected by this.
I mean, not in the way that regular people are affected.
Well,
not even close.
You're not going to be able to make the argument about regular people when we're talking about, oh man, poor Mike Trout. Is it going to make his $37 million? He's only going to make $7 million. Like,
Mike Trout is not worth even a fraction of $4.5 billion.
No, I understand. I'm just saying you're talking about normal people. Like, you're not going to get people to feel bad for the players either. Like, when it comes down to it, this is how it always works, man. Like, we side with management on these situations. Like, we side, you know, a big portion of our fan base sides with the fat pockets of the NCAA. Making money off of the backs of unpaid labor. We side with those people because we like our entertainment more than we care about the athletes. Like, every time a lockout happens, we don't side with the players. We side with let's just play because I want to see you play. Do anything we can to get sports out there.
I would disagree. I mean, personally, I mean, I would side with the players. This guy's number 153 on the Forbes 400 billionaire list.
I understand
Forbes calls him the world's richest restaurateur.
Like I said, he owns a lot of businesses, but they're all closed right now.
Yeah, but I mean, I would feel zero sympathy for a guy like this.
And I'm not asking anyone to feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for him. I think it's funny that Tillman Fertitta, he's had a year from hell, though, because, like, keep in mind, as he was talking with President Trump, he was like, yeah. You know, my GM was tweeting about Hong Kong. Been having to deal with that all year. Now all my businesses are closed. We need to get back to work, President.
I mean, I'm just saying, if this guy feels like he's crunched for money, he can get rid of a few, you know. He can find the money.
Well, I don't know if
I don't think a guy is crunched.
I don't feel like right now is the time to go selling off yachts.
Then sell off some of the Rainforest Cafes and Bubba Gump Shrimp Companies. That's who this guy is. He owns all the Rainforest Cafes and Bubba Gump Shrimps. He also owns the Golden Nugget Hotel and Casinos,
ooh,
Morton Steakhouse.
Well, that's what I said. I mean, he's a restaurateur and he owns
seafood.
But it's just funny because everything he owns is closed right now. Like, his NBA team's closed. Everything's closed. He's just sitting there.
Well, maybe we'll eat one of the rich.
The money still has to come in. Like, he's still got bills to pay. And he's like, hey, I need a lifeline here. I'll pay 15% interest because I know I'm going to make it back once we open. But, like, right now it's tough. So I'm just pointing him. I'm using him as an example to point out, like,
I understand
some of these owners are crunched, and you know,
I just don't like the term. It's tough. Like, it's not tough to me. Like, I got like that.
You don't think he's stressed out right now?
I don't care. He's worth $4.5 billion. Like, to me, that's just when you say it's tough, it's just I disagree with that take.
I would imagine he's stressed out right now.
He's probably stressed out. Sure, I'm sure the single mother of five is stressed out too.
Sure,
you know.
And I'm not downplaying that. It doesn't have to be
either or. I know
you're
not downplaying it. I'm just saying, like,
rich people have problems, too.
Well, they bring a lot of those problems on themselves.
I do think one of the most interesting parts of the COVID fallout or whatever is just how many of these big corporations are still, like, living paycheck to paycheck. What I mean by that is, like, these companies haven't put any type of nest egg in to survive. Like, look at UT. Like, if we don't play football season this year, UT's done. Like, college football will be in trouble. And they bring in so much money each year, but, like, in college athletics, you have to spend that money pretty much every year to make it look like you are reinvesting into your product. Like, hey, we're not making $50 million in profit. No, we're putting this back in the school and upgrading our facilities, and we're paying all these coaches just a big-ass salary so that it looks like we're spending money. And, you see that with these big-ass corporations, too. Like, the moment things went bad, okay, we need to bail out the airlines. They're in trouble. They didn't save any of this money. They paid out hundreds of millions of dollars in bonuses to people last year rather than keeping some type of money in the bank to withstand a downfall. And it just we always look at the people, our citizens, of, well, you should have had a rainy day fund. You should have had some money set aside in savings. And right. Yet we don't ask that of our bigger corporations that had the money to save. Like, everyone's just kind of living check to check.
That's just not how the world works. What would happen if a big university went under?
I don't know.
I mean, what would even happen? Would like Walmart come in and buy UT and use it for? Would Walmart start a college campus? Walmart College? You think?
I don't know.
Like, would one of these massive corporations? Because you would still have assets, right? A university would still have assets.
Amazon just starts buying out universities left and right.
we just start
new
using
warehouses
like,
put up everywhere.
Make like the business building a new Amazon warehouse or something.
It's possible.
The new student union just becomes Amazon. Just people in there working.
Just full of packages.
Yeah. Just put a couple of conveyor belts in there. And I don't. What would that even look like? It'd be crazy.
If the governments might need some money, they'll have to sell some of that land.
Yeah.
No, they're going to fund the school here. Just here, Amazon, come buy this. We will set you up your own little university.
I hope Mother Corona hurts all these billionaires. I hope she eats them all, one by one.
Yeah, the only thing that happens then is that it trickles down. And
yeah, billionaires get hurt, we get hurt.
Yeah, the other people will get hurt worse, and you wanting chaos.
Maybe we'll bring mom and pops back, you know? Maybe if we just got rid of all the corporations, we could just bring back regular stores and live off the land as good people.
You say as you drink your Diet Coca-Cola.
Imagine there's no countries.
I notice you don't have the Diet RC.
It's easy if you do.
I know you don't have the Diet RC Cola.
Diet RC Cola.
I notice you want.
I would drink Diet Mom and Pop if Mom and Pop would make a beverage for me. But you know what? They can't because Coke runs the world.
You don't have to give them your money. You can support local.
I can't buy a local soda.
I don't see you come in with local breakfast. I see you come in with McDonald's, bro.
Actually, I ate a lot of local breakfast. There's a place right over Cedar Bluff called Maple Street Biscuit Company, which is a chain. But I feel like local people, it's more local than like a McDonald's.
Local people own the McDonald's.
It's more local than that.
It's just a smaller chain.
It's real food.
Just a smaller chain.
I'm just saying, if a mom and pop soda fountain was to come up, I would go there.
Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines.